Contemporary World Theology, Session 5, 认识现代神学，第五讲， Chapter 2, 第二章， 1919 and after, 1919年和以后。第一章是讲过了康德对现代神学的影响，第二章是讲巴特，第三章是讲新正统神学，第二章。In 1919, the pastor of a small church in Switzerland published a commentary so radical in its scope. 1919年，瑞士一个小镇的牧师出版了一本圣经注释，他所涉及的范围是那么的革命性 that one writer has said,有一位作者这样说 The Karl Barth took a letter written in the first century Greek and made it a special delivery to 20th century men. 他说巴特拿了一封用第一世纪希腊文写的信用快邮传递给二十世纪的人。A Catholic theologian speaks of this commentary on Romans.另外一位天主教神学家这样论到这本《罗马人书》的注释，说 ：“As a Copernican revolution in Protestant theology， 说这本是一本基督教，就是基督新教神学的大革命 ，which put an end to the dominance of liberal thought， 就终止了、结束了自由派思想的垄断。” Another called the book, 另外一位作者称这本书为 A bombshell on the playground of the theologians, 说这本书是在神学家的游戏场丢了一个炸弹。Perhaps the second and fully revised 1921 edition of Barth's commentary was more revolution than the first. 可能1921年出版的第二，也就是完全修订过的版本，比较1919年的罗马人书注释呢，更加的革命性。But at any rate, 不论如何， 1919 provides us with a starting point for contemporary theology. 1919年为我们提供了一个当代，这个当代是指20世纪神学的始点。And some appreciation of the significance and formative influence of Barth's work on that theology. 1919年呢，也帮助我们去体会到巴特的著作对这个当代神学，就是20世纪神学的重要性和如何塑造影响了这整整一个世纪的神学。That influenceIs phenomenal. 那个影响力是空前巨大的。In a sense, it made all 20th century theology the theology of crisis. 从一个意义上来说，巴特的著作使所有20世纪的神学都成为危机神学。注，危机神学就是巴特自称他的神学的名称。Barth has dominated the theological climate. 巴特主导了整个世纪的神学氛围 formulated the theological questions. 他为神学家定了神学要问的问题 and been at the center of theological debate since 1919. 自从1919年来，他也是所有神学辩论的中心人物。One Scottish theologian calls him, 一位苏格兰的神学家这样称他 the greatest figure in modern theology since Schleiermacher. 自从施莱马赫以来，他是现代神学最伟大的人物。这位苏格兰的神学家是 T.F. Torrance, 也是影响到我们华人教育最深的对巴特的诠释者、跟随者和崇拜者。The recently deceased Reinhold Niebuhr. 最近去世的尼布尔 Reinhold Niebuhr, 请注意这本书是1973年出版的。Has asserted that Bart is something of a genius. 他声称巴特是一位天才 with more imagination than any other living theologian. 比任何目前活着的神学家的想象力都更丰富。A Methodist professor of theology has endorsed this judgment too. 一位卫理公会的神学教授也认同这个评论。他说 There is no doubt that Karl Barth has made a stronger impact upon Protestant theology than any other man of the 20th century. 毫无疑问的卡尔·巴特比任何一位二十世纪的人对基督信教的神学所做出的影响都更为强大。Thus far, 到目前为止。So varied and far-reaching is his influence. 他的影响力是那么的多面性和深远。Whether one welcomes his ideas or opposes them, 以致不论我们欢迎或者是敌对他的概念 one cannot ignore them, 都不能忽视他们 and still gain an elementary understanding of the present situation in theology, 都不能忽略除非对现今神学的情况连一点点对最基本的理解都没有。What was there in that 1919 to 1921 commentary that shook the theological world then and now? 这套1919到1921年的罗马人书注释里面有什么是摇动了当时和现今的神学世界的？ What new principles?Had men felt Barth to be emphasizing that became the legacy of a new theological era? 人们感觉到巴特在强调哪些新的原则，以至于这些原则成为一个新的神学时代的遗产呢？ Our desire now will be to sketch some of those principles emerging from Barth's commentary. 我们现在愿意勾画出一些从巴特的圣经注释所浮现出的原则 that seem to have played the most influential part in the shaping of a new theological changes. 这些原则呢，似乎是在新的神学变动中最有影响力、最塑造这些的神学思潮的。A more careful analysis of Barth's developedtheological perspective will be outlined in the following chapter. 在下一章就是第三章呢我们就会勾画出也会更谨慎的去分析巴特后来成熟的发展出来的神学观点。下面是这些新的原则。一共呢是有五点。之后我们的作者再继续讲这些原则怎么样具有影响力和甚至乎对巴特后来的思想又有什么的含义后面又是五点的第一点第一个新的原则 Number one The Neo-Orthodox revolt against liberalism was one of the most striking features of the early Barth巴特早期思想一个最突出的特点就是一个从新正统对自由派神学的反叛。Barth himself had studied under the great liberal theologians Harnack and Hermann. 巴特自己就在那些伟大的自由派神学家哈纳克和赫尔曼 之下学习神学道。And until the appearance of his commentary was part of this world of thought. 而在他的罗马人书注释出现之前呢，巴特本人也是这个神学世界的一个成员。The Jesus of Barth's teacher Harnack was not the unique supernatural son of God. 哈纳克就是巴特的老师手下的耶稣，不是那位独特的超自然的神的儿子，不是的。But simply the living embodiment of love and humanistic ideals. 耶稣只不过是一个活生生的对爱和人文主义理想的化身而已。The Bible of Barth's teacher Hermann, 那么巴特另外一位老师赫尔曼的圣经呢 ,was not the infallible word of God, 不是上帝无谬的话语。But an extraordinary, yet ordinary book, 是一本不平凡却平凡的书 ,filled with error, 充满着错误 ,which demanded radical criticism to find truth, 必须人用彻底的分析或者批判来处理才找到真理的。The yardstick for that truth was experience, feeling, 而寻求真理的准则或者尺度呢，就是经验或者感觉。The theology of these men in a part also was idealism. 这些神学家和巴特的神学是理想主义或者唯心主义 ，marked by a deep streak of pietism.有着深厚的敬虔主义的色彩 and concern for practical Christian experience 也非常关注实际的基督徒的经验 In 1919 and even more strongly in the 1921 version 在1919和更强烈的是在1921年的修订版里面呢Barth sought to repudiate much of this classic liberalism. Barth 试图强烈地推翻这个经典的自由派神学。World War I and its horrors helped to shatter his dream world. 第一次世界大战和他所带来的恐怖有助于巴特的美梦破碎。Cultured Germany, 文化治国的意志 Liberal England, 自由主义的英国 and civilized France, 文明治国法兰斯法国 were fighting together like mad animals, 好像野兽一样疯狂的彼此作战 and hardly had the war begun,Then Barth's theological teachers joined with others in declaring their support for Germany.
这个第一次世界大战差不多还没有开始，巴特的神学老师们就与其他的人呢一同的宣告，他们支持德国一方。
Barth's liberal teachers had been unmasked.
巴特的自由派神学老师们呢，他们的面具。剧被拆毁了
As teachers of a religion sprung from a culture and bound to a culture
他们是一种从某一个文化所浮现出的也是被一个文化所捆绑的一种的宗教的教师
Barth's commentary on Romans sought to repudiate his former teachers
巴特的罗马人书注释试图要推翻他以前的老师们的看法。
Liberalism called for a God immanent in the world.
自由派主义所寻求的上帝是临在在这个世界的上帝。
Barth, in rebellion, pointed to God only as, quote, the holy other.
但是在巴特的反抗乃是指出上帝唯独是一位全然他者
holy other 的上帝。
The subjectivism of liberalism in the 19th century had put man in the place of God.
19世纪的自由派神学的主观或者主体主义把人放在取代上帝的地位上。
Bart shouted, Bart 喊叫说 Let God be God and not man.
让上帝做上帝不要他做人。
Liberalism had exalted the cultured use of religion.
自由派神学高举用文化来使用宗教。
Bart condemned religion as a supreme sin.
Bart 咒诅这种的宗教是最高的罪恶。
Liberalism built theology on the foundation of ethics.
自由派神学把神学建立在伦理的根基上。
Bart wanted to build ethics on the foundation of theology.
Bart 呢，要尽力把伦理建立在神学的基础上。
Number two, 第二个新的原则。
Bart's 1921 commentary proposed a new view of revelation, one still dominant today.
巴特的1921年版本的《罗马人注注释》提供了一个新的启示观，到了今天仍然是主流的启示观。
我再说，这本书是1970年代初出版的。
In opposition to the older liberalism, Bart sought to stress man's need for revelation.
巴特反对老旧的自由派神学，他试图要强调人对启示的需要。
And in that spirit, 根据这种的精神呢， he preferred above other names for his new ideas, the theology of the word of God.
对他的新的概念的标签呢，他比较喜欢的是神的道的神学，
theology of the word of God,
神的话语的神学，神的道的神学。
ButBart, in his insistence on revelation, carefully distinguished the Bible from absolute identification with the Word of God.
可是，但是当巴特坚持启示的时候，他很谨慎地区别出圣经和上帝的话。他不要把圣经绝对地与上帝的话等同。
This, as we have already noted, was his Kantian legacy.
我们上文已经主持。
This, as we have already noted, was his Kantian legacy.
我们上文已经指出，这个就是他从康德承受的遗产。
One may read the Bible without hearing the word of God, says Bart.
Bart 说，人可以读圣经而没有听到上帝的话。
The Bible is merely a token.
圣经只不过是一个的代币或者一个记号。
But at the least, a token through which the word does come to us.
但是至少透过这个记号呢，上帝的话临到我们的。
The relationship between God and the Bible remains real, but indirect.
上帝与圣经之间的关系仍然是真的，但是是间接的。
The Bible, says Bart, is God's word so far as God speaks through it.
在什么程度上，上帝透过圣经讲出他的话，在这个程度上，圣经是神的话。
The Bible, therefore, becomes God's word in this event.
因此圣经在这个事件上，就是在当上帝透过他讲话这个事件上，成为上帝的话。注脚八
，Karl Barth, Church Dogmatics, Volume 1, pages 123 to 124. 卡尔巴特教会教义学卷一之一第123-124页、我多加一个解释，这本卷一之一罗马字一斜线阿拉伯一、在2018年尾在香港已经有中文翻译版出版了。Until it becomes real to us, until it explodes in our life, until it speaks to us in the existential situation, it is not the word of God. 当圣经还没有对我们是真实的，当圣经还没有在我们生命中爆炸之前，当圣经还没有在我们的存在式的处境里向我们说话之前呢，它不是上帝的话。 Thus, says Bart, 因此巴特说 The Bible is a record of past revelation and a promise of future revelation. 圣经是过去启示的记录，也是将来启示的期许 promise. Number three, 第三个新原则。 Bart's commentary introduced also a new method of explaining theology.巴特的罗马人的注释也提供了一个新的解释神学的方法，就是辩证 dialectic 辩证法。 The name itself quickly became attached to Bart's thinking. 这个标签很快就贴在巴特的思想上。 Though the method itself was borrowed from the writings ofThe existentialist philosopher Kierkegaard. 虽然呢，这个方法本身是从这一位存在主义哲学家齐克果的著作所借来的。注脚九号 ,footnote number nine, the deeper background to both Kierkegaard and Bart must be the relativistic epistemology of Kant. 齐克果和巴特两个人背后更深层的背景肯定就是康德的相对主义的知识论。 Francis Schaeffer, on the contrary, appears to place greater formative influence on Hegel. 可是薛华认为呢，对齐克果跟巴特的更深远的影响是黑格尔。回到正文， Kierkegaard has said thatAll theological assertions were paradoxical in character and could not be synthesized. 齐克果说过，所有神学的宣称都有着吊诡的本质，是不可能被组合起来的。Man was simply to retain both elements of the paradox in opposition. 人必须要、保留着、这个吊诡的两方面相反的方面。 This act of retention, 这种的保留双方面呢， was accomplished in faith, 是由信心这个动作成就的， defined as man's highest emotion, 而信心是人最高的情感。 The acceptance of the paradox is what has been called the leap of faith, 而接受这个吊诡就是所谓信心的跳跃。我们下一讲呢，继续讲巴特是如何受到齐克果、或者更深远的康德和黑格尔的辩证法影响的。我们下讲继续讲第三个新的原则。